This NBA season, make every three-pointer, alley-oop, and buzzer-beater even more exciting with FanDuel. You can bet on everything from first baskets and number of dunks to which player will drain the most threes. Or stack your bets with the same-game parlay for a shot to win even bigger. It's quick, easy, and you'll get your winnings fast. So download the app today and see why we're North America's number one sportsbook. Make every moment more with FanDuel. 19 plus and physically located in Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-866-531-2600 or visit connectsontario.ca.
Hello. Hello. Anyone around here speak basketball?
Aging Bobby Webster.
This is Adam Silver.
Welcome to the Confederacy of Dunks
Basketball Podcast.
I am your host, Freddie Rivas. And who, sir, with the beautiful, 2019 NBA Champions t-shirt, are you?
I'm your producer, Matt Duncan. Freddie, we're in the second round now. Not the Raps, but us as fans. How you doing?
I am doing pretty good. I'm hanging in, enjoying myself. If you are just tuning into this podcast for the first time or you are back, thank you regardless. We are a hardcore Raptors / NBA podcast. We're, comedians, actors, hardcore fans, analysts. Basically, anyone that's obsessed with basketball is welcome on the podcast. Matt, if people want to follow us, help us, make us bigger than, the biggest podcast in the world, how can they do that?
If you're watching us on YouTube or you're listening to us on the Rapcast, thank you very much. Please subscribe, please rate, and all the info you need is down in the show notes. So click the links. It'll take you where you need to go. And you know what? Don't be afraid to click on our guest names because it'll take you to their social medias and you can follow them and give them some love.
Gorgeous. Smooth, buddy. That's smooth. Show notes? Forget about it. Look, we got the YouTube point going. We're so old, eh? A guest I'm going to be bringing on shortly was like, how 40, Freddie? How old are you? And whatever, I'm approaching 40, no worries.
I'm further along than you.
Yeah, it's no race, I guess. let me just say before we get started, I want to shout out the ongoing situation with Brittany Griner. Obviously, it's slow moving and it's horrible, and it's something that everyone should be informed about. But I do want to say that the U.S. government said, it's officially a wrongfully, she's in the wrongfully detained category. So hopefully that signals, more of a prioritization and a shift towards, expediting this process. The WNBA has started. We want to see BG back and doing her thing for the Suns. So if you don't know what's going on, make sure you get informed. And I think we can get this ball rolling on the podcast. Let's bring on guest number one. She's done this podcast a bunch of times. She runs a basketball podcast of her own. She'll be telling you about that for sure. Coming to us from LA, she's an incredible guest. Always makes me laugh. Hilarious comedian. Give it up as loud as you can, even if you're at home alone, for George Brooks. Yeah, this song is sort of like, I don't know. It's like, I feel like it's
never what I remember.
Yeah, same.
Like, I always prepare for it and it comes on and I'm like, yeah, it's just off of whatever I thought it was.
It's just a bit off in general, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to have you back. Let's just get this train rolling and bring on guest number two, who I think probably has the most insane making music of all. he's amazing. He's one of the funniest people I know. I always love his basketball observations. He can play back to the basket. It's a lost art. Give it up as loud as you can, even if you're at home alone, for Ian Gordon.
Hello, hello. How's everybody doing? I always forget about this music.
Yeah, it never forgets about you, though,
Until I hear it, and then I go, oh, man. It takes about a week to get it out of my head.
Yeah.
I won't sleep for a week.
No, you can't sleep with that music. It's torture. No. thanks for coming back, pal.
Oh, my pleasure. It's always fun to do the show. Thanks for having me, dudes.
No worries. Let's jump right in. Maddie, I know you're there. I've already seen you. We don't have to do the existential dance. Do your thing and give me your most delicious Raptor sting.
Started from the bottom. Now we here talking rappers, kiss the rain.
Okay. All right. I kind of dig that, I think.
Was that more current for you?
So current. Thank you very much. Started from the bottom. We all know that's Drake's most recent track. for those checking in, all we know is that Matty D found a website. We don't know much else. He's piecing stuff together. This is some people come for the Raptors talk, but we're checking through the algorithm numbers, and about 96% come for Matt's audio Foley. So we do appreciate you listening to the Raptors talk, but we know you're here for Matt's weird audio choices. He is the snowmobile man himself. We love him. Go Leafs, go, Matty. Okay, let's jump right in. Let me go to you first, George. This is early, and I think we're going to be having this conversation all summer and probably September. But who is, a really good fit for this Raptors nucleus, this Raptors squad? I probably should have added a caveat that the Raptors have some unrestricted free agents of their own, such as, Boucher, Thaddeus Young, Zach Bonga, I think a couple more dudes. And if any of those guys are your choices, fair enough. But given what's out there, who's an unrestricted free agent? And let's leave money to the side because it's hard to predict what people are going to make. We're just having fun here. Who's someone you'd like to add to the Raptors?
Thank you for asking. I looked at the list of unrestricted free agents. Mm-hmm. There's nobody that's really exciting.
Yes.
And so that totally means the people who are slightly exciting are going to be hot commodity. So I say that to say, I don't think we're going to be able to get this person because I think they're going to stick to the team they're on, but I would like, the Raptors to get JaVale McGee. He's a center. He's backup center on the Suns. That's why I think he's going to stay there, but he's had such a great season with them. And I just think, we all know we need a center. I was looking at guards initially, but I don't see any guards that are taller than 6'7". And I know that's a priority for the Raptors. So I stuck away from them.
I saw JaVale there and I don't, maybe I was trying to overthink this question, but that's we'll see what Ian says, but I think that's the best answer because every team this guy has been on the past couple of years has either won a championship or won a lot of games. I don't know what his success rate was on Cleveland. I think he was on Cleveland before Phoenix, but he won with the Lakers. He won with the Lakers, right? I think. I'll bring it up. Just
I got to look at his. I don't remember.
But you know, he went from Shaq to a fool to basically just being this like absolutely integral piece to every single team he's on.
And yeah,
I think, yeah, that's a perfect answer. You know,
I think that he's such a great like. Well, if he was on our team, he wouldn't be an off the bench center, I don't think. But ideally, he's your bench center, or he comes off the bench and you have like someone else. And when you have like such amazing role and backup players, then you're laughing, you know, like he's on the Suns this year. And I have a friend who's a super Suns fan, like we are Raptors fans. Mm-hmm. And he went to one game. Not he went to a few games, but he went to like the first game he went to of the season. He was like, oh, I got to buy his jersey. And then he just bought his jersey because he is like that integral to the team and that beloved already by Suns fans.
Yeah. And I just looked. He did win a championship with the Lakers. He did win a championship with the Warriors.
Oh, right. And he's born the same year as me, which is big.
Cheers.
And he's 7 feet tall. So, you know, and Masai likes that.
Yeah. No, sorry. I interrupted you, but he's also mobile, right? He's not like this, like he fits our style. He's not the 7 footer. Like when people talk about the, you know, a 7 footer that we would integrate to our system. Like it's exactly a guy like that. You know, if he starts, yeah, he doesn't need to close the game necessarily. He could be situational. You know, if you're playing the Dallas Mavericks, he could guard Luca, pick his pocket,
yeah, quick,
run the court and dunk.
I honestly didn't think he was 7 feet tall because he does kind of have the agility of like a smaller guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't read as big. And I don't know if that's, I don't know why I'm saying that like it's a positive, but it is a positive, I think, in this situation.
No, yeah, I think so. He's mobile. I always got to shout out JaVale too for, I just don't think his dunk off gets enough credit. He dunked 2 basketballs at the same time on 2 nets that were far away. It was weird and gimmicky, but it was also like, if you can do something that no one else can do, like that's cool, I think.
Hear, hear,
right? Yeah. dunk, hear, hear. Ian, who's your UFA?
I mean, JaVale's a good answer for all the things you guys mentioned. He's also pretty chippy. He can, you know, get involved if we need somebody to defend someone or any kind of situation like that. He's kind of like, he's good with that. Other than him, looking at who's available, I'd probably look at somebody like Thomas Bryant. He did his ACL last year, I think. So he was out for a good portion of the year. But when he plays, he's productive. He usually has above 600 field goal percentage, which is rare. It's like he's kind of like JaVale in that way. He puts the bucket in with efficiency. He can rebound, and he's only 25. So he did have a big knee injury, but he's still not in his physical prime. He's kind of right there. And I don't think he's had a good shot. He's always played with Washington. They're garbage. They're a steaming pile of hot bathroom garbage. It's been in the sun. That's their franchise. God love them, you know, but they're horrible. And I think he was there. He's been there his whole career. And I think if he went to a team like us where he could do, you know, maybe come off the bench, give us 15, 18 at the five, he's probably not as mobile as the guys on our team, but he fits a different purpose like JaVale would fit. Big body, efficient score from the block, can rebound. And I don't think he's ever had a chance on a good team. You know, if you put him on our team with good coaching staff, good training staff, maybe he plays 82 games and he's actually productive. I think that given the right situation for him, he could be a good player. And I think, yeah, he's only like $8 million a year or something like that, which is pretty good.
Yeah, I was just checking. I didn't even, yeah, I must have like scrolled past his name. He's another good selection. You know, I think it's hard to prepare for the playoffs and like assume you'll play the same people. And I think a lot of people are down with what the Raptors are doing. Me included, you know, as far as this, like the 6'9" experiment thing, but it's never bad to have options. And I think, you know, Bryant is also, yeah, he's young. I totally agree with you. about Washington. You went deep on the bathroom reference.
I was kind of, it was a bit, we've had some good battles with them, so it's only fair to verbally abuse them whenever I have an opportunity.
For sure.
When they were good there, they were a good rival for us. They hurt us. So I don't like.
Yeah. Hey man, the Washington sweep is one of my darkest moments as a Raptor.
It was a dark
fan.
Time.
It's a dark time.
I was eating a lot of Oreos at that time. Well, even now, but more than probably.
Yeah, you're eating like Oreos in a different way back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, now it's happy Oreos.
Yeah, they're happy. Yeah, that's true. I have a smile on my face. These aren't closet dark Oreos.
Yeah,
they're closet double stuff. I don't go double stuff anymore. I've taken a stand.
That's a big step.
So, fair.
It was. It took a lot. Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
I actually think Thomas Bryant might be like a realistic. I wouldn't be surprised unless stuff changes. I wouldn't be surprised if that it ends up, if he ends up on our team. I mean, I would also be surprised because sometimes we make no moves, but.
He can play. I think he can really play. I think given the right opportunity, he could do something for not just us, but like a good team and a good situation. I think he's probably looking for that. Hopefully in his career, I feel like he probably is like, I want a better opportunity than what I have.
And I think he's a prime, like in a not great situation, type guy because, Masai and Bobby they fully won me over as far as like the importance of development and like, trust in that we can develop guys well. And if they're willing to work, obviously there's always that heat culture stuff, but like Raptors culture is real. And we can turn guys into winners. And I think Thomas Bryant is a great selection. I don't really know. Yeah, he's also because of the injury. I think it's interesting because how much is he like going to command on the market? Could we pay him the mid-level? Does Washington, like what's their interest in him? He's a good selection. I like Thomas Bryant. Mm-hmm. I feel like both your answers are better and more realistic than mine. I went straight to guard and, the one guy I've been thinking about a bunch and again, he might just, like similar to JaVale McGee's in a good situation. So he might just return. But I'd love to give Victor Oladipo a chance. I think he, again, I guess he's similar to Thomas Bryant in that he has such an injured history that people aren't really sure what to do with him. But, we've seen it before. Sometimes players are injured for a long time and it's just like a string of bad luck and bad health. And they can kind of, make a comeback. You got guys like Sean Livingston, Embiid started his career very injured. Blake Griffin missed his whole first year. I'm hoping Zion can kind of like, string it together, string health together. But Oladipo was my guy. I think the guy I would really love, but I know for sure is getting paid, is Jalen Brunson. Watching him play for Dallas, he's amazing, but he's an unrestricted free agent, but like, I think that guy's getting the bag. So.
Yeah, but he's having a weird playoffs. I wonder if it's going to hurt him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I get you to elaborate on that? Because he's had some big playoff moments. Did you say nope?
Yeah.
You're like, absolutely not, sir.
I will not. I saw it and I heard it.
I saw it. I heard it. We're done here, sir. you know what? That's fine. Okay. Let's just move to the next question anyways.
Can I just quickly say someone we don't really need on the team, but I want on the team who's unrestricted free agent is Kyle Anderson. He's on Memphis.
Ooh, slow-mo.
He's 6'9" and he's gentle and then he gets mad at stuff.
I'll stump for a gentle guy anytime. Also his name's slow-mo and he moves slowly. That's cool to me.
Is he Canadian?
He's not.
No, he's not.
I don't think, no. But yeah, I love Kyle. And I didn't know. He was out there, but he's an interesting guy for sure. And, he's a Spurs guy, Memphis guy. I think like as far as like rounding the edges of this team, there's actually, this conversation has proved, proved my question wrong. Because like when I brought it up, I was sort of thinking like, what's really out there? But I think considering we have a decent core, there is some opportunity to bring in a winner or a guy that can kind of like augment our core of six or seven or five or whatever you think our core is.
I honestly think we need guards more than centers, even though I picked a center. So
me
I know
too.
You're trying to move it. I know you're trying to move on the podcast.
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. It is all good. And I think we do need a center, of like a 20 minutes a game guy. And we do need shooting, and we need someone to give Fred some rest. Like, I don't even think we'll get everything we need this summer. I think this squad's sort of in this phase where things are looking good. We're going to improve. I think we finished with 48 wins. I think and hope fans should expect a 50 win season next year. But also, yeah, once you get to this area of wins in the NBA, it's hard to maintain, and you really kind of, you need health, you need culture, and you need, like a pretty deep bench, I think. So, yeah. Ian, let's go to you. And Maddie, why don't you come in? I think this might get, honestly, usually for the silly question of the pod, my answer usually sucks, but I have a good one this time. So I'm excited to bust it out. But Ian, if you've never heard it, and okay, listen, I'm not a Sixers fan, and I never will be. I'm a Raptors fan, but they have this song they play. I don't know how long this has been happening. I think we beat the Sixers so much as a Raptors fans that I just haven't heard it that much. But they have this song they play every time the Sixers win at home, and it seems like it's like a real song that's good. It's like kind of a banger, but they basically just say like the words Philadelphia and 76ers in like a bunch of different combinations of ways. It's like a, I don't know, it's like a propaganda song or something, but it's, I don't know. I kind of love it. It's worked on me. So that made me think the Raptors should have like a song they play every time they win, and they might already, but it's probably like all we do is win, win, win or something like that. And I mean, like we need our own song. So yeah, with that said, Ian, what song should the Raptors play every time they win at home?
It's a good question. There's a lot of choice. There's a lot of choice. You could do something hokey like, Berlin down and down white water. That's where the log rider goes. Step lightly. That song from the Canadian Heritage Minute. You know that?
Oh, guys? I know it. And that's mine.
Right. Is it actually?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Well, screw you. Yes. Because I went first.
I should have went first. Yeah. I even
that's amazing. Is it actually? It's a beautiful song. Yeah, that, okay. You could also do Patio Lanterns, Kim Mitchell.
Sure.
You know, we could also make our own song where we could come up with something where, like, you'd be like, the Raptors clawed the enemy to death with the 6-inch claws. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Something like that. They brought good. The enemy down, and, I didn't really think about necessarily the lyrics to it.
But sounds like you thought about it.
I did, actually. It didn't go well. I did think, but I didn't come up with much. But I think I'll probably go with the Log Rider's Waltz.
Yep.
Just because it's a good timey song. If you hear that after a victory, it'll make you, you'll probably just want to stay in your seat. You'll be so excited. You won't want to leave the game. You know?
I love the idea of being so excited that you will stay in your seat.
Yeah, you go like this, play it again, you know? One more time, PA guy. And then, but PA the guy, Philadelphia man. Song's great. It sounds like it's from the 70s, very disco.
Yeah.
I feel like cocaine might have been involved in its genesis.
Oh, certainly.
Potentially. It's got to be, you can slip that on at Studio 54. And people would be like, is this ABBA? You know?
For sure. People, I love your reenactments of people. Just like the person not standing up and being like, play this again, PA man.
One more time. Log Rider's Waltz, buddy.
And being at Studio 54 and asking if this is ABBA is great.
It really is a great song.
It is a great song. The Log Riders Waltz is my track. I can't believe there's a double up for this answer.
Also, because he was like, you could go the hokey way.
Yeah, so yeah. But he like, did, though.
Huge
yeah.
burn.
Yeah, huge burn on me, who thought I had a good answer to my own dumb question. I'm just going to say, since this was my choice, I did do a quick backup, but I'm going to read you the first two, like kind of like stanzas or whatever that is in a song. Oh, yeah. So it's pretty weird. If you ask any girl from the parish around what pleases her most from her head to her toes, she'll say, I'm not sure that it's business that it's business of yours, but I do like to waltz with the log driver. And the chorus is, for he goes burling down and down white water. That's where the log driver learns to step lightly. Yes, burling down and down white water. The log driver's waltz pleases girls completely. So
can you hum the tune?
Say it like that, Freddie, because
you're not supposed to say it like that, but
no.
Hey,
it has to read it. Yeah, it's all about the chorus, quite frankly. Yeah. The stanzas are a little strange.
Can you hum it? I just need to hear it. I don't remember it.
It's great.
No. Honestly, it's a
remix. And the video is
hot. Drake should do a song, or any popular Canadian artist who wants to pay tribute, you know, to Canadian Heritage Minutes should do their own version of it. A remix, if you will.
I have a feeling Maddie's going to integrate that into the pod by next week. Listen, I don't want to set you up, Maddie, but I don't know what else you can do on that website you found. I bet you something with that. Okay. Great answer, I have to say. Hokey, sure. But great answer. George, what's up? What's your song?
Well, we know I didn't pick that one since I didn't recognize it at all. Mm-hmm. I thought kind of like, okay, I took this question very seriously, unlike
Good. Thank you.
Some other people.
ouch.
I think the thing about the Raptors franchise right now is it's very cool. Like, even saw Scottie Barnes get drafted to the Raptors, and I think he was like, hey, this is cool. I'm going to meet mm-hmm. Drake. Now, I didn't pick a Drake song because I honestly thought everyone else would.
Yep.
And I thought it was a little too on the nose. So the song I chose, and you also may not recognize it, but it's called Northern Touch by the Rascals. You guys remember?
Yeah.
It?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and then it starts good. So you could just play it right from the jump. Mm-hmm. And it's the perfect winning song. It's about being cool in the North.
Driving on King Street.
That's a great pick.
Thank you so much. Pick. Oh my God, thank you.
It's a real good pick. Yeah.
I really think they should do it.
You should read the lyrics to it all. Weird. Like, how does it go?
I will read
Chuck the Clare lyrics. Coming down with the Northern Touch.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Maddie. Wow, the fade away in confidence. That was good.
Yeah.
It goes, I'll just read it in like a.
Yeah.
A very 30-year-old white lady way.
Sure.
We notorious. Ain't nobody can bang with us. Rascals, checkmate. Cardi, now, and Thrust.
Cardi, now? I'm sorry. That's wonderful.
Yep, he's in it. Shaw Claire coming down with the Northern Touch. Why you people want to bang with us? Ain't nobody can hang with us.
Correct.
Rascals, checkmate. Cardinal, and Thrust. Shaw Claire coming down with the Northern Touch, baby.
Really good. It's
huge. That's good.
That's a gem.
That's another seat stayer for sure.
But yeah, that's a seat stayer. That's a excuse me, PA.
You'd
man.
Never get everybody. People wouldn't leave.
Yeah.
I also think, excuse me. I also think it is time to bring back. Like, I think it's cool now to start calling Toronto T-Dot again because it kind of is like, yeah, I've been here. Even though I know I'm currently in California, but it's like,
okay.
I've been here since the T-Dot. I don't call it the six because when I was growing up, it was the T-Dot. Am I selling this?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm with you on the T-Dot, O-Dot. You know, but listen, it's fun to say. I think I am with you on Northern Touch, but Maddie, what's your song?
Okay. Very different picks. Okay. Let me just start this off by saying when these playoffs started for the Raps, when I heard Shaq say that we were going to get swept, it really hurt my feelings because I like this guy. I bought one of his printers. I like watching him eat hot chips and stuff. But then the Raptors slander, you know what always comes from? Like a very small pool of analysis for these guys. And shout out to Chris Boucher for calling them out on his own podcast, saying, you know, like you just watch like a couple games before the playoffs starts. If we're in the playoffs, like, thank you, Chris Boucher, you know, like this dude, resign this dude. Anyway. So I originally picked this song more at a jab, at Shaq, but then I played it. And I was like, you know what? This could kind of sound good at the end of the game. Now, it is the opening song to Kazam. And I need you to picture. Now, it's going to take some participation from Masai because I would like him like coming down on a cable from center court every time we win dressed as Kazam. And I'll just give you
all about participation.
Yes. And I'll just give you a little taste of it because I got it lined up here.
Honestly, it's perfect.
I mean, those are good vibes.
It's a winning song.
Yeah.
It's a song you'd play after a loss.
No, it's kind of rude because it's like, we're not even that excited.
Wait, what's the screaming in the background?
Is that for Shaq?
Ain't gonna make this a mystery. Don't want to do time or your wish is three. Watch it, boy. You don't want to diss me or I'll dish out my misery. Ha-ha. I'm the man that could grant your wishes. I am Kazam.
Man, that movie could have been so good. It could have been, they should have, you know, Kazam. It had everything.
Can't you see Masai lip syncing that part of Shaq at the end? He's granting our wishes.
I like that you have him up in the rafters coming down on a cable. But I'm also picturing like a close game and like, so he's potentially has to go down.
Yeah.
So he's clipped, but then they lose and he's like, just like unclip the harness, and like walk down the catwalk. Like, all sad. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I do like Masai coming down from a speaker on fire for sure.
I also love that Masai has been promoted to, you know, vice chairman. And this seems like some type of like infinite punishment.
Yeah. Totally like you're now a mascot. Yeah.
The most important person in the franchise. You're like, awesome. So you make all, you call all the shots. Great. We're going to need you in the catwalk ready to go.
You should have read the fine print.
Yeah. We're going into OT. Sorry, man.
triple OT.
Okay. Waltz was mine. But my backup is I tried to look up like the lyrics. I think it's just lyrics, like it's just dialogue from the movie. But it's the part in Jurassic Park where they go like they do move in herds.
Okay,
I love it. You know. A sound bite.
It's more a sound bite, less a song.
Thinking outside the box.
Log Driver's Waltz was my answer. Okay. Okay, let's talk some NBA. Let's move on here. Thanks for all the good answers. I'm sure you know whoever's watching is high up in MLSE and will make make this happen. Like I just don't see it not happening.
Just like I know we're moving on, but imagine Masai coming down when there's like an empty arena and he still has to do it. No fan. Like,
COVID's back, but guess what? Masai is still, I don't know, hanging in the catwalk.
All slow.
You know, before I move on, let me just, you know, this is ADHD in full effect here. I'm easy to stall, you know. If you've never seen the clip, watch Denver Nuggets opening day, the Cougar, whatever the mascot's called. This is like probably a decade ago. Is waiting to come down and the harness is like not placed properly on the mascot and basically presses too hard on his like kind of like that, what's that area right below your ribs?
Cougar pelvis.
Yeah. You're kind of like high tummy area, whatever. Yeah. But it knocks the wind out of him. And he passes out. So they basically look like they're lowering a dead body. And
I can't wait to watch this.
It's one of the funniest things you will ever see.
Oh, yeah, I have seen that.
It's amazing. He's lowered. And by the time he gets to the court, they know something's wrong and they shut the lights. They shut the lights and they basically cheerleaders are like, oh, don't look over there. And there's like a group of people waiting for him and his body just like slowly collapses. Oh, it's only funny because he's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I'm so delirious.
I know. I don't want Masai to ever go through that. Okay.
It would be way less funny if it was like a man.
100%. If there wasn't
dressed as a genie, yeah, it'd be really.
If there's no, actually the costume helps, I think. Yeah, if it's just like someone in a business suit, you're like, yikes.
I just laughed so hard at that description. I realized I have a new baby and I haven't slept at all. And I was like, why am I laughing so hard just at the description of this?
You'll get full. First of all, you know, all new baby deliriums welcome here. And please do yourself a favor and George, watch that video because you'll cry laugh. It's truly a classic NBA moment. It's up there with like Tyson Chandler blocking a shoe mid game. Check that out too if you've never seen it. Okay, let's hit up some NBA. Matty, good sir, give me your most uproariously weird NBA sting.
I am not a criminal, but how good the Raptors are is quite criminal.
Okay. Is that Jeff McHenry? Is that John Steinberg? What's going on?
Well, we have a guest from America on today, so I was like, what president would George know? And yeah, that was Richard Nixon.
Richard Nixon. Another relevant reference.
Which one president will George know? It's probably Nixon.
Yeah. George, you're from, you remember Watergate, right?
Yeah.
You saw all the president's men, no?
You're going to do that citizenship test sometime. Where are they going to ask you? Probably about Nixon a little.
Oh, for sure. They'll be like,
they'll be like, I know him.
But who's Nixon? A. Who's Roger Stone? Does he have a tattoo of Nixon?
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Does Roger Stone wear a top hat? Okay. George, let's start with you on this one.
Can you not start with me?
Yeah, for sure.
I forgot about this question.
That's all good. Ian, let's start with you. Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, four international MVPs in a row with the Jokic win. I mean, it would have been international if it was Embiid or, you know, Giannis anyways. But Giannis two in a row, Jokic two in a row. I've seen this question floating around Twitter. So shout out to the first person that asked it. But when will the next American win MVP? Like what year? Like, you know, you don't have to say like the year or whatever, but like, you know, like how long is it going to be and who is it going to be?
It's a great question, to be honest, because if you look around the NBA top 20, top 25 players, a lot of them are international now, you know, and a lot of the seems like the best American players are going through a bit of a change. Like you've got LeBron and Durant and guys like Kyrie and even Kawhi, who are in their 30s, getting older. And then the new guys coming in, kind of like, it's going to have to be one of them. You could say, sure, LeBron could win any year. But I think at this point in his career, he's going to need enough help where he probably wouldn't be up for MVP consideration necessarily. Mm-hmm. Unless he does something crazy outstanding, which you can't necessarily. But, I mean, the guy's almost 40, for God's sake. So it's hard to say LeBron. And if you look, to be honest with you, the best two players that I could think about, I would have to say, I want to say Morant, but I'm going to say Tatum because I think that his situation is a bit more stable. Mm-hmm. He does have Kemba, Jaylen Brown, my mistake, who's a great player in his own right. But it seems to me, especially watching you'll get to this, but his performance in the playoffs and when games matter, he steps up. He can kind of do everything the team needs. He's an amazing shooter. The guy can, he can get 12, 13 rebounds as a, you know, like a two, if you need him to, a two, three, but then he can dish the ball too. I like the Morant pick. It's probably like the more popular pick, because, but he's still a bit younger, right? And he seems to be, I hope that this isn't his trajectory, but he seems to be so aggressive to the hoop that he's getting injured. Whether he's going to be able to temper that in his play going forward, he can shoot the ball, so he might not necessarily need to be somebody who drives all the time, but he's an attacking player, so he's risking that kind of, you know, impact all the time, even in the regular season. 82 games go by, whereas Tatum, yeah, he goes to the hole a lot, but he kind of has that mid-range game, the bit more of a slice and dice, not as aggressive as a player. So I would say, just based on him being a little bit more mature, and maybe having a bit more of a settled situation in terms of the team, I hate to say, I like the Memphis team. They're amazing. But I think that if I'm looking at the Morant versus Tatum, their situations, their age, everything else, if I had to say, it would probably be Tatum. But this is not to suggest that he will even win it. But if I had to pick an American player, I'm picking him. And I would say within the next 3 years, maybe four, because I think that Tatum's what, 25, something like that.
I think so. I can double check. Yeah.
24 to 25. Cause he came in the league pretty young. I think he only played 1 year at Duke. And so he, but he's been in the league for a while now, but I think that he's coming into his prime. He has a skill set that not a lot of players have, and he's in a good situation. So I could see him winning MVP of any American player, which is crazy to say, actually, because you think American players, all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, if I'm actually taking a look at the landscape of the NBA, a lot of those players that we've been so accustomed to being amazing and being MVP caliber players, Harden, you know, Durant, Kawhi, LeBron, they're all getting older. They all likely don't have another shot of winning an MVP. If we're just looking at it just objectively, it'd be very difficult for those players to win one, especially who's on their teams respectively. So I think that that would be a tricky time. It's a crazy time for international basketball, man. A lot of the best players in the world are international, man. You got to figure, honest to God, if Yugoslavia was still a country, they'd be the best basketball nation in the world. Like, for sure.
They'd be pretty stacked.
Yeah, I think they could beat the US. Yugoslavia.
They'd at least be like very, very top heavy. You know, they should consider
becoming a country again
for the Olympics, and then be like, we're going to put it all aside, try to win gold, and then you can go over here and we'll hate you a lot. sorry about everything. But just for this sort of 6 week period, we'll put it aside. It would be worth it, you know?
I mean, yeah, Ian, so many good points. I'm with you, like, you know, all the way. I think, you know, Ja and Tatum are the guys I am sort of circling. I have another guy in mind, but those are, I think, like, probably the candidates, right? And I think you highlighted it well, like, you know, and I'll just add, Giannis is young, Jokic is young, Doncic is obviously young.
Right.
You know, exactly. Those guys are candidates. I think of like the old guard. I feel like perhaps there's an opportunity for one more Steph MVP.
Right.
If the Warriors are like absolutely rolling. But I think that has to happen in like the next 2 years. But, you know, really, yeah, like over, you know, Embiid, over Jokic, over Giannis. I don't think so. Like, or probably Doncic, not, right?
Even. Doncic is going to get his MVP.
Yeah, he seems headed that way. And I think you bring up some really good points with Ja. You know, he's such an attacking guard, where I think, you know, Doncic is more of his style of game kind of preserves his body a bit more. Mm-hmm. And I think that, yeah, like, you know, a guy like Ja, you know, we hope for health, but it's just, there's so much explosion there that I think hardcore NBA fans have seen it before. Where like that's just sort of, it's a small window of time where you can be like Westbrook style explosive. Although, hey, Westbrook maybe is a good example.
D Rose had the 1 year. D Rose had the year he won the MVP, but then the next year he was like, he unfortunately got injured and he wasn't the same for a number of years. He's had a great comeback, but he's done it because he was able to shift his game, not necessarily the same player when he came back. So, yeah, I would hate to see that for Ja, but when you see players of that kind of design, how he plays the game, it might be hard for him to turn that off because he's such an amazing attacking player.
And by the way, Tatum is 23 right now.
Yeah, see.
Yikes.
So, you know, with the Boston nucleus, I think, you know, there's a chance that Boston, you know, finishes first in the East or something like that. And, you know,
Tatum's very good.
Yeah, he's pretty well rounded too. Like this year, he's 27 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. Like all those numbers bump up a little bit first in the East. Like there's definitely a path. And I think you covered a lot of the angles too. Like that's sort of why I was, you know, bringing this question up. But George, what about you? Who's the next American MVP? And when? Yeah, like I should say, Ian said like a 3-year window, which seems fair.
Yeah, I agree. There's, I think that it's going to be a minute before there's another MVP who's American, because I think Embiid might get it. Like, post, I feel like he didn't really. I feel like Jokic really did deserve it this year, but I think enough people feel like Embiid missed out on it 2 years in a row. Then I wouldn't be surprised if, kind of like what happened to Monty Williams and Coach of the Year, if like he gets it next year. So,
and James Harden, right? He was like runner up twice, and then he got it.
Sorry, I was like, James Harden is not getting it next year.
No, but
now I understand what you mean.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I wouldn't be surprised if Giannis got it again. I think Luka's gonna get it, if not twice. So all those things say it's gonna be back to back international for a while. And I genuinely think that the next American to get it, Scottie Barnes.
Oh, I almost said Scottie Barnes. There's like a.
I know that sounds.
I know that's crazy.
Wishful thinking, but it could happen because I honestly listen. I honestly think Scottie's going to be the next Giannis, and I think he's going to be it in only a couple, maybe like 3 years. I think he's going to be like starting All-Star. So. If he's going to be a starting all-star, maybe he could also be, who knows? Maybe he'll be the next MVP, because it could be Tatum if he keeps going on a leap. But sometimes too, when you see somebody grow too much, you like disregard their greatness. Like I think that is happening to Devin Booker a little bit. Like he kind of probably deserves an MVP nod, but it's like, he was on a bad team. We saw him grow. We saw the like struggle. And then you're like, no, he's still that guy. Or I mean, maybe Devin Booker's not the best example, but he's the first one I thought of. I really was thinking more about like when you start, okay, I've been watching Grey's Anatomy.
Sure.
Stay with me.
Okay.
And Meredith Grey has been at the same hospital for like a long time since her residency. And now she's like a world renowned doctor. But people at that hospital sometimes still see her as like the slutty intern, but she's not anymore. She's a world renowned doctor. Anyways, that could happen to Jason Tatum. And I just think Scottie Barnes, next American MVP.
I love your Grey's Anatomy comp so very much. And I also, I mean, you know, I know that it was, I know that that show is still going on. So shout out to them for making her like, I hope that show, you know, brings it to the point where she like retires and is like a doctor that tours like universities and stuff and gives like speeches, and like she doesn't actually practice anymore, but is like consulted.
Because I'm like breastfeeding a baby, I do a lot of TV watching, and I've caught up. I'm up to date on the most current episode in season 18 of Grey's Anatomy, and she's now like curing Parkinson's.
Cheers.
Wow.
Go get him, Grace.
Grace.
Okay. That's fantastic though. I feel like the Scotty trajectory, I mean, obviously this is a Raptors podcast, and you know, I it's weird. I want to throw cold water on that, but I also, I can't, like, I have to see what he looks like in year two. And yeah, I have to see if he slows down a little bit, just because, yeah, his year one was absolutely like just like insane. But my guy is actually Devin Booker.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Sorry, my baby's screaming.
Yeah. I actually just typed.
My toddler's yelling too.
Okay. My husband's got the baby. I just wasn't sure.
Listen, we're doing
wrangle sometimes. Yeah. They can be a bit wrangle proof.
Yeah, wrangle proof. Listen, as someone who doesn't resistant. I don't have kids yet, so you guys, you know, you do what you got to do. We'll accommodate. I think you kind of covered it with Booker. Like my thing is that the Suns are awesome. And I feel like even as Paul ages out, there's a chance that they are number one in the West. And I think there's an opportunity for Devin Booker as he refines his game and gets better. Like maybe he has a season where he averages 32 points. Like the guy scores so easily. And, you know, we're talking about wrangle proof. I think he's, you know, everyone can get injured, but all we know so far about Devin Booker is that he's pretty close to playoff proof. Like, you know, first time in the playoffs, went to the finals. That's pretty remarkable. Obviously the team stacked. DeAndre Ayton's amazing. Also international, you know, he's a shout out Barbados.
I think Bahamian.
He's Bahamian. My bad. Yeah. He's not from Barbados, but,
he might be, dude. I don't know.
No,
you thought he was Rihanna.
Yes. Oh, you got me. Yeah. I thought DeAndre Ayton was Rihanna. Now I'm just discovering. No, yeah, he's from Nassau, Bahamas.
One thing I'll say about Booker, Freddie, is like, I'd like to see him now that he's entering his prime physically. I'd like to see him play without Chris Paul. See what he's like without Paul. Because Paul brings a certain element. Both there's a plus and a negative. You learn a lot from him. He dishes the ball a lot. Certain statistics go down that will inhibit his ability to be an MVP. If his assist level drop because of Chris Paul, you know, for him to be MVP, he's going to have to average. They're going to have to be first in the West, and he's going to have to average like 27, 9-9. Because
well, yeah, I was saying like 32 points. Average, like,
you know what I mean? So he'll have to average like 38-9, 30, you know, like around there. Mm-hmm. And, If he could do it, like I'm not saying he can't, but it'd be interesting to see what he's like when Chris Paul leaves.
I just want to say, I feel like that is why he's never in the MVP, or not never, but in the last 2 years hasn't been in the MVP conversation, is because everyone's like that team got like playoffs once Chris Paul was there. Everyone recognizes Devin Booker's great. But in the last 2 years, there's been multiple times in the playoffs where Chris Paul has been out. Like last year, he was out for a whole round with COVID. Remember, he kept like calling in and like FaceTiming, being like, you guys can do it. And then this time that happened too, not COVID, but a few games, and the team was fine. But then Devin Booker was out for a few games and the Suns like lost to the Pelicans. So I think that Devin Booker is more important than we think he is, because we really give a lot of credit to Chris Paul and he deserves it. But I think that we don't need to take it away from Devin Booker as much as we do.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's a multiple truth scenario. I feel like as Raptors fans, we've even seen what, you know, Fred is able to do without Kyle, but also when the team and Pascal, but when Kyle was with the team there, it's still his team. He's still the leader. And I feel like Kyle and Chris Paul, like there's some similarities there. You know what I mean? They're of game managers or savvy. Like if they're on your team, they're the vet. Like even Kyle going to Miami, obviously it's like Jimmy's team, but it's still like, there's been some sharing there, I think. But let's wrap this up with the last question here. Just sort of quickly, Ian, what's the most exciting second round series, in your opinion so far?
There've been some really good ones, actually. It's been some good basketball. I really have enjoyed watching the Memphis Golden State. Oh, it's 3-1 now, with Ja out. That kind of sucked. The first few games were really good. They were all highly contested. I hate to see injuries like that, but it's, you know, conducive to the intensity of the games. But I would probably have to give it to the Boston-Milwaukee. It's been back and forth. There's been a couple lopsided games. But I've really been enjoying, you know, listen, he's a Celtic, and they're a chief rival of ours. Mm-hmm. But I've been enjoying watching Jason Tatum play. I hadn't watched a lot of Celtics games during the regular season because I don't watch Celtics games that much during the regular season.
Fair. Just,
you know, watching Raptors games. But having watched him now in the playoffs, especially against a good Milwaukee team, he's carrying that team. He's a very good player, and it's been nice to watch him play. And the basketball has been pretty good. It hasn't been as chippy as the Golden State-Memphis series, seemingly, but it's been seemingly okay. We could talk about the refereeing and everything, and there's some inconsistencies, whatever, there always is. Yeah. But if I had to choose, yeah, Boston-Milwaukee's been good. I've enjoyed that series pretty good. As much as I really don't like those two teams.
Yeah, you know, good answer. I still contend that the Celtics, you know, should have drafted Markelle Fultz, but JK. Tatum's amazing. I mean, I'm happy for Horford. Wow, like what a game the other night. That series, I think, might be the answer. It's not my answer for this question, but George, yeah, what's your favorite series so far?
My answer is pretty much exactly the same, because at first it was Memphis, Golden State, and then they had a blowout game, which was really boring. And now I find finding Boston and Milwaukee really fun to watch. The game last night, oh God, I think it was last night with Memphis and Golden State, I thought was really good. So anyways, yes, I think those two series are the best. I'm not loving the Heat 76ers, and I think that's just because, like, the first two games were really boring because it was like the Heat weren't even trying and they were beating the 76ers. And now it's hard to watch because, like, Joel Embiid is wearing a mask and he thinks he's, like, so cool, and then he plays well, and that's annoying. So... And, like, don't at me, but, like, I cannot stand watching Luka Doncic. I know he's so good at basketball, but it's like he's so fucking annoying. Oh, are we allowed to swear?
No, and you just banned us. No, don't worry.
Shoot.
shoot.
Anyways, he drives me nuts.
I think we're all, like, mostly in agreement, but my, you know, I guess, yeah, I think really is Celtics, you know, Bucks. But I actually, you know, I think I said we're all in agreement, but I love when a series, everyone thinks one thing and there's a dramatic turnaround. So in that sense, I'm enjoying Philly, Miami. I think it was like, you know, they asked a bunch of analysts and like 15 people picked Miami, and all of a sudden it seems like, you know, and maybe it's just like a home thing and Miami's going to win in six or whatever. But it does seem like there's been a tone shift, and
Embiid back is huge.
Embiid's, you know, been good.
They have no answer for him. Nobody can guard him on that team.
Yeah. And Harden, you know, finally showed up and had like a big game, you know. Maxie's all, like, you know, we dealt with the Sixers. Like, there's some talent there. Maxie's amazing. And, you know, I think, like, even Doc, right? It's like one of the most like slagged coaches in the NBA. Like, he stood up tall against Nurse and Spo. So I think, I don't know, like, you know, like narratives can change. And I think that there's something cooking there. And I think Philly has a chance to win. And I think, I don't know, not a lot of people would have said that, you know, a week ago. But yeah,
and let's being back changes everything for them.
Yeah, it changes everything, right? It just changes the complexion of the game. And maybe I just want to hear that song that I like, that says Philadelphia 76ers a bunch of times. But listen, I'm not a Sixers fan, okay? I'm a Raptors fan. But guys, this is the pod. Thank you, everyone who's been listening and supporting, and we're digging Raptors Republic and growing and all that jazz. So like subscribe, like me and Matt were doing at the beginning, like whatever. Oh, thank you, Matt, appreciate it. Nice mumble laugh there. But yeah, George, what's up? What do you want to plug? Please, you know, tell people about your pod.
Thank you for asking. Yes, I have a basketball podcast. It's kind of like a fan podcast. I just say that because like randomly I'll forget a player's name that I should definitely know. Like, anyways, this isn't a good ad. Listen to my basketball podcast. It's with me and Sarah Rooker. She is a comedian out here in California, but she also coaches high school basketball. And in the States, that's like, you just, it's not like just like a, you know how like in Canada, that's just like a teacher. Here, it's like someone they hire. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it's called Bounce That. That's the important part. It's called Bounce That. It's a podcast. It's very funny and cheeky. And we talk all about basketball.
Hell yeah. Bounce That. Not every pod needs to, you know, be like memorization perfect or analytic or whatever.
But we're very smart.
Very smart. Very smart people. Very funny people. Everyone check out, you know, George's pod. She's amazing. And the pod's great. Ian, what's up? What do you want to plug? What's going down?
We have lots of shows coming up throughout the summer. But follow me on Instagram, shirt_Gordon. Active on there and nowhere else really. But yeah, lots of shows in the city, out of town especially. But if you're in Toronto, go support your local comedy club. Come see me, but go see some comedy. Go support live comedy. Go to Comedy Bar. There's a new comedy club on Dundas called Nothing Fancy, which is a fun place. Used to be a cool bar called Red Light. Now it's another awesome independent comedy club. So if you're listening and you're thinking about going and supporting some live comedy, go do it. It's always a fun time. Have some beer and enjoy yourself. Also, before we go, speaking of spinning videos, there is a hilarious video. You guys might have seen it. A woman's being rescued. Again, she turns out to be fine, but she's being rescued from a desert somewhere by a helicopter.
Okay.
You could say.
And something goes wrong. This is the plug. Okay. Listen, yeah.
Something goes wrong. It's clearly not supposed to happen in this way, but she starts spinning. Like,
amazing
spinning. Like, wow. Honestly, I'll say this. I'm not being hyperbolic. She probably spins 200 times, maybe 250 God. Times right. as they're bringing her up to rescue her.
So she's full Pascal Siakam, just like, and one.
She's on the Gravitron. Hey. She's on the most powerful Gravitron of all time. And it's really kind of hilarious to watch it, especially knowing that she was okay, which is great.
Okay.
And you can laugh at it. She was okay, videos. So you can laugh.
Yeah, totally. You know, I'm talking about a Denver Nuggets
misfortune
Cougar
of
mascot,
others.
You know?
Laugh at the misfortune of others, provided they're okay.
100%. That's amazing. I'm definitely going to check out that video.
You have to. It's hilarious.
Guys, you know, thank you both. Again, thanks to everyone who's been supporting us and, you know, listening to the pod and everything. And Maddie D, thanks for your amazing production. And we'll catch you guys next week. And if you feel like we're done and we're good to go, please, Maddie, just give me those words I love so much. Okay.
Okay.
Listen to the Confederacy of Dunks exclusively on the Rapcast.